flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
That was Drake May.
Yeah.
Sounded good. Fit, Skiz, yeah. I missed it. I'm not a DJ.
You did.
You gotta
you
tell me where
you
the
were
damn
so
post is.
Close too on that.
I was, but I was also not totally paying attention to that. Next time I will.
It's a little too early.
Saw it. Story of my life.
A little premature.
Story of my life. It is what it is.
They have know? Thanks for that. You know.
I'm gonna look into that if anybody's interested in having me as a sponsor.
I got some tips for
4 o'clock
you.
4 o'clock hour, we're working for sponsors already.
WEEI Afternoons, that was Drake May at the Pro Bowl, talking about his new head coach, Mike Vrabel, their conversation apparently on the phone. Something stuck out to me in there that I found very interesting. I am having a little bit of a Adam Jones afternoon. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. There's you know what it is? I'm going to tell you straight up. It's the weather.
It could be. It's got me down.
It is.
But it is Friday, so what, whether it's...
Am crappy, I supposed to know what that means? Adam too, Jones kind of... Is it just the
negative.
Whole attitude? Just okay.
Something else, too. I'm gonna double up on you. One, it's the weather. Two, this is the first weekend without NFL football. Now, I understand there's
I
one game
that.
Left. No, but it's different.
That like, gives we're all me a settling. Weekend to do stuff.
Yeah, but like it's not...
Like go to Top Golf with the kids or something.
It's a good time.
Oh, that's fun for
did
a
you
weekend.
Did you take out a HELOC to be able to afford Top Golf?
It's not that expensive, is it?
It's not cheap.
Oh,
I hope they sponsor
it. It's a good time, though.
No, yeah, well,
it's a great time.
I promised they would. It's an old football thing I had to pay off from when they were still playing. I said if they achieve something, I would take them to Top Golf.
That's great. Get the sliders.
Might be a weekend to pay it off. Anyway, going to pay off what I was just talking about. Drake May said he's been a head coach before of Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
Should I
slam
hear that in relation to maybe anybody else that he's recently played for?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think, unless you think he's got a little, that's a Mac Jones comment. I'm not sure he's got that Mac Jones thing in him.
Oh, but, when Belichick called, like, oh, he's played in the league? He can play in the league? Yeah, no. I think he's just being very plaintive, and I think he's being complimentary in that sort of North Carolina country strong way.
I don't think you're giving him enough credit. I think he's a very smart guy who says what he wants to say.
Do you think, is this the smart guy that you're talking about? Do you think he knew that it would be a bad look that he didn't stay and comment on Gerard Mayo's firing or didn't show up for Mike Vrabel's introductory press conference? Do you think he knew it would have been a good idea for him to be here and he just chose not to?
So the latter I didn't care about personally because he was, you know, getting engaged and had some prior engagements.
She was happy.
Why he didn't speak on the final day of the season when his coach was fired, or the day after when, you know, the garbage bag clean out day thing. Yep. Why he didn't speak as the leader of the New England Patriots, I don't have an answer for. I thought it was a terrible look for a guy who has told us before in our interviews with him, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I know how to talk to the media. You know the leadership role that it means to be a quarterback, the franchise quarterback of the New England Patriots. Well, you didn't. That was bad. That was a bad. Dan Ball.
No, he told that to you over the phone a bunch because he didn't want to appear in person.
Because he didn't always want to come sit next to us and appear in person in the studio.
Oh, I see what this is. So it's a little of...
No, no.
That's it. Shows the personal
stuff. I am a professional
stuff.
And I'm objective and I call it like I see it or hear it. I think it's interesting that Drake May, in a 30-second answer, the first time he speaks publicly about Mike Vrabel, one of the things he highlights is he's been a head coach before. Unlike the last guy I had who we were swimming upstream and making things up as we went along. That's all I'm saying. That's if you choose not to hear it that way, then I have no problem with that. And I think your hearing it way, whatever the way you hear it, is just...
It's your way.
It's your way.
Okay, so do we think that's
vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry?
Yes. We may end up with a Neapolitan, if you will, of opinions on this as well. What if it is... Maybe not so much an organizational shot as it is, like I said before, just a boost of confidence. And maybe, just maybe, I don't think he's disappointed that Mayo was removed. I'm not sure exactly what their relationship was. I'm pretty sure, though he'll learn to hopefully like and work well with Josh, he's probably disappointed that AVP got the bum's rush because apparently they had, from what I heard, a very good relationship.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, baby water bath, something. I don't know. He wanted the change. He played for Mac Brown. A guy who had been coaching for 70 years, it felt like, or whatever, won national championships. He went from playing for Mac Brown, who I got to think knew what the hell he was doing. He's the winningest coach in North Carolina history. He's got a college championship. I got to think there was a certain feel of the way Mac Brown did his job, ran an organization at North Carolina, and then he got here with Gerard, and it probably didn't measure up, and he's probably saying, I'm kind of happy that there's a guy coming in who's done the job before, been in the NFL for... you know, a half a decade as a head coach and has some experience and knows how to take my career and push it forward.
I would think. I mean, you know, he didn't show up for Mike's, you know, press conference, so maybe
you keep bringing that up.
No. So some people might think that he wasn't signing off on that decision.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't read into it.
He was getting
and I agree.
Engaged.
I agree. I don't think it was any big deal. You know what? If he has any reservations, you talk about him maybe missing AVP, it'll take 1 week in training camp for him to go, ugh, I love it. I bet you Drake May will be singing the praises of this coaching staff 4 days into training camp.
Well, I think
because
he'll
it's going to be a such a difference in style and approach. It's going to smack him right in the face how much better this coaching staff is than the one he had last year.
But I think... he'll do that either way, quite honestly. Now, I agree with you. I don't even think we'll get to training camp. I think
just through the
mini camps. Whatever story had it, I don't know if it was the Herald version or one of them, they were like in April realizing, holy crap, we're in trouble.
That's right.
And I think he will know, holy crap, we're not in trouble anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, we know what we're doing. The one problem I will say is I think, and I say this as a compliment, I think he's a good soldier. I think he could have the worst coach ever or the best coach ever, and he's going to tell me when I interview him on Patriots Monday that, oh, I love AVP, does a great job, he prepares us, he knows all this, blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't think he's ever going to throw his current coaches under the bus. I think he believes in falling in line.
Chain of command.
Yeah. I think he even told us that once. It was something kind of taught by his parents that
it comes through in how he talks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that and the fact that he got his rear kicked by the three older brothers all the time. Like, he respects chain of authority and pecking order.
Yeah. And that's a good thing on a football
team. It's a great thing.
Oh.
No. I think that's a great thing. In that position, in today's NFL, with the way quarterbacks can be, you know, where you have, you have quarterbacks coming in, they want part ownership of the football team, you know, that they're going to, that kind of thing, it's all about their commercials right away. Drake May's a throwback to an old era of football.
Ooh, I like that.
And how he approaches the game, how he sees the game, how he views his teammates, the pecking order, the respect given to the older guys. And it's refreshing to me to see a kid so young get it the right way, in my opinion.
Look at Ted Johnson being sunshine on a cloudy day today. Come on.
Great shirt, baby. It is the happy shirt.
It's the happy shirt.
So we heard what Drake May had to say about Mike Vrabel. What do you think he has to say about Josh McDaniels? We don't have to guess because he told us.
Sure, Coach McDaniels, obviously what he's done there and the success he's had, fortunate to be able to have a guy come in who's done it at a high level and learn from him coaching one of the best ever and the best ever, in my opinion, Tom. So got a great chance to go back and all those years of film you have in the little database. It's all their play calls and all Coach McDaniels' stuff and what he did with Tom. So it's fortunate for me to go back and study it up and get ready for this next season.
What's the biggest thing that you learn in year one?
Yeah, I think you got to bring it every week. You know, anybody can beat you, and you got a chance to beat anybody. It's the NFL. It's the National Football League. You got a chance to beat somebody one week, and you got to bring it the next week. It can't just, celebrate and get on your high horse week after week or get on your low horse. You got a chance, week in and week out to compete with these teams and compete. So that's the biggest thing.
All right, Ted, I'll give you the floor first.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I love it. I love it.
What's your first reaction to his comments on the guy that, the Patriots broke Mac Jones, right, in year two with their coaching change? Mm-hmm. So this can be a make-or-break year for Drake May, correct?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a pass.
Don't you learn the most in the second year and then year three?
He identified that Josh McDaniels coached the best to ever do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he clarified it, too. I like how he said one of the best, and he goes, the best. Good call in New England to clarify the GOAT
He's
is
talking
Brady.
About Matt Castle.
If I'm a rookie linebacker coming in this league and my coach, coached Mike Singletary for 10 years.
Okay.
And he's now coaching me. You know how excited I'd be to be being coached by a guy that coached the best ever dude at my position?
Mm-hmm.
So Drake May has to be thrilled that Josh McDaniels is now his new head coach. Are you just any coach that's come up against and coached with any significant time with Tom Brady, I would think a young player would welcome that, would want that coach to coach him.
Like he checked into a Red Roof Inn and all of a sudden found out that he's actually getting like a deluxe at the Four Seasons.
Exactly. Same exact thing. Exactly.
Yeah, I think he is really going to enjoy his time with Josh McDaniels.
Hell yes.
Forget our previous debate about how some of the other pieces on the staff may fit together. I just think not only what Josh has done, but what I think Josh is going to try to do in terms of the streamlining of the offense, the modernizing of the offense, the West Coasting of the offense.
Let's look at it from Josh McDaniels' viewpoint. And what is he... Because he's going to be, it's like human nature. What do I get out of this? What does Josh McDaniels want to get out of this by coaching Drake May?
Buffing up the resume, the reputation, the legacy, a lot of people say I only did it with Brady. If I take, Drake May's a Pro Bowler already, but if you take him to where some people think he can get, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert world, which is every year Pro Bowl, yep, every year MVP candidate, playoffs, all of numbers, statistics, wow, then yeah, Josh McDaniels is going to get a crap ton of credit.
Look about when Mac Jones comes in here in 2001. Did you see when in those preseason games what Mac Jones was doing? Did you guys remember kind of how it was, he was played?
Remind me. Pretend I forgot.
He was doing hurry up, tempo, 2 minute stuff.
2021?
Yes.
Oh, he looked phenomenal in
preseason.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Josh wanted to be a head coach again. And he put a product out there with a rookie quarterback who was the fifth quarterback taken in the draft,
mm-hmm,
and made him, by week eight, it looked like the Patriots were the leading contender in the AFC.
Yeah.
With a rookie quarterback. And what did that do? That landed him a head coaching job the very next year. He's motivated by that kind of stuff. Legacy, you mentioned it. I don't know about being another head coach, but if he can get Drake May up to where he's talked about, like Josh Allen, it'll go so far for Josh's legacy. And don't kid yourself, he's no different than Bill Belichick when it comes to that. He wants credit. Yeah. He wants that kind
we
of.
We all do.
I know.
We all do.
I know, but that's a good motivator. So he's going to be motivated to get the best out of this.
Don't you think Dable loves that everybody says Dable tore down and built up Josh Allen?
Yeah. Like,
whether it got him a head coaching job or not, everybody, it's cool if you're reading that.
Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah, but like that's good to have sort of in your legacy, your narrative, the rhetoric about your name.
I think that'll drive him
you were talking about. It was the second half of the preseason game in Philadelphia.
Yep.
He came in and looked like he'd been playing in the league for 7 years and was quick and
audibles,
decisive.
Check.
All over the place. And there's Josh auditioning. Here's Mac flashing.
Thank you.
And I think that's when we all thought, like, they got something.
Plus, None of us really care about the motivation. Just get us
what we
the
want.
End game. Yeah. An offense that's fun, it's moving, yeah. It's scoring points. As Josh says, right, they're on the field to move the ball and score points. Like, not that
sounds
hard.
Pretty simple.
Right, very simple. We are not simple here on WEEI Afternoons. We are going to go into something we haven't done a ton of this week. We have actually not bent over backwards to talk about the Super Bowl and the Chiefs and the Eagles and various aspects of that game. And we're going to tiptoe into that area. And we're going to talk coaches and quarterbacks, because I don't know if you heard Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are in the Super Bowl again, and they're looking to become the GOATs of both. And therefore, as our sort of background information, we had a little homework assignment. Come up with your top five coaches and top five quarterbacks in the last, 40 years since 1980? And it sounds easy. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. So our top five coaches and quarterbacks since 1980, up next on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball is...
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is going to trend. That is one-time NFL GOAT quarterback Joe Montana talking about Tom Brady on First Take.
He sounded really excited in that opinion there. He sounded like he really meant it and felt it.
Also why Joe Montana had a short broadcasting career, I believe. Nice. A lot of those guys.
Not terribly good at it.
No, like Jerry Rice wasn't terribly
Emmitt
good
Smith.
At it. A lot of those
Emmitt Smith
really
was real
elite
bad.
Players that yeah. aren't great at it.
We were talking about broadcast teams and whatnot over the weekend, though. Joe, I think no one's better right now than the Joe Buck Aikman combo.
I love him.
I've always loved Aikman.
I'm a fan of. I like the Collins Tirico. I'm a big fan of that.
Mike Tirico's good
Ooh,
dude. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. But you know what? Troy's gotten better over the. He's more critical.
He's gotten weirdly more comfortable. It took a while.
Yeah,
it's like he reached that I don't give a bleep level.
Troy.
Yeah.
Well, when you make $17 million, that'll happen.
Yeah.
He doesn't give you the same insight that like Tom or Tony does, but. He's a likable guy. He will go places I don't think a lot of quarterbacks will go.
And I
respect that, yeah.
I want guys that
are
willing.
Say it in a way that's not demeaning. It's very diplomatic.
I don't think it's cheap shots.
Nope, I agree.
But it's more, I don't know if edgy is the right word, but.
Like when he told the league to take the dresses off and got in trouble.
Yeah. That wasn't the best way to phrase it.
But for him to.
John Hanna said it.
For him to actually. He was doing the broadcast when Mahomes was playing the Texans, and those calls that Mahomes was getting, he was like, that's not good. Like, and he's a quarterback. I love that. A quarterback calling out a quarterback for getting calls he shouldn't be getting.
Right.
I respect that.
It made me think of the tush push argument. See, like, you're a linebacker complaining about the tush push. If you were a center complaining about the tush push,
yeah,
I'd kind of listen a little more.
Yeah, but
no
I have good arguments for why the tush push.
Okay, we're not going down the road. Okay. Let's go. Okay, so do you want to start coaches or QBs here with our top fives?
Let's go coaches.
Okay, you want to go first since you stepped up to the plate? Top five coaches since 1980. This could get entertaining we know.
I feel like this is pretty much. This should be, I don't know. Well, we'll see. I feel like if you don't have exactly like I have it, then we're going to have issues. Number one, Bill Belichick.
Oh, upset alert.
How about that?
You guys listening to that? Bill Belichick, number one, okay? Jeez. It's not all bad when I talk about Bill.
Imagine
all
right. how high he'd be if he was worthy of like 20% of the credit for the
Oh, man. 15. He got up to 15. All right. Number two, Andy Reid. I don't know how you debate that. Number three, Bill Walsh. Top coaches all time.
You might be right. This might be more chalk than I thought it was.
This is where it gets a little. Now it's gonna. Okay, I'm gonna put Bill Parcells at number four.
Okay,
and then number five, Jimmy Johnson. Those are my top five coaches of all time.
Okay, so I have the exact same five
Since 1980. Lombardi.
It's Paul Brown, in my opinion, is the greatest coach of all time. Okay. But it's like a different era, different.
Yours
time.
And Mike Lombardi's.
It's because we're both gridiron geniuses or whatever it's called.
All right.
So I have the same five that Ted had, and I have the same top three, Belichick, Reed, Walsh. I then just have Jimmy Johnson
at four,
and then Bill Parcells at five.
Right. Ooh, I'm the only one with a different answer.
So do tell.
All right.
You don't have Belichick number one?
Ha, the honk. Belichick number one, Bill Walsh number two, because of the offensive innovation with the and also kind of never really lost big games. Rarely. So
unlike Andy Reid?
No, Andy Reid hasn't lost many, but
he's lost five
a bunch of NFC championships. Yeah. I think Walsh only lost one, if I'm not mistaken. Number three, Andy Reid. Number four, Bill Parcells. Number five, because of what he introduced to the NFL and the impact it's had offensively, I went Mike Shanahan.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. Mike, you know what? Shanahan. That's a good one. He won two?
Yes, he did.
Just to prove, I had like a...
I almost think that's a...
Others
I,
oh, you have an honorable mention? Kind of thing?
Yeah, I got three.
And I had Shanahan on that list.
My honorable mentions, number six, Joe Gibbs. Number seven, Sean McVay. Number eight, Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
You have Sean McVay in the top eight?
I think when all is said and done, Sean McVay is going to finish in the top five.
But it isn't said and done yet.
I know, but I'm future betting on it. I think I'm so impressed by him. I think he's so good.
Do you know where he originally, where his roots came from, though?
Washington, D.C.
No, well, I meant like his coaching.
His mother's uterus.
Okay. Well, that's to get literal about it. Yes. But what I'm trying to say is football roots. It was the seeds were planted in the Shanahan. That's just
the Shanahan tree. Yeah.
So I agree. You know what? I'm going to make I do this a lot. An addendum to my list.
Okay.
And I'm putting Shanahan in over Jimmy Johnson. So I like.
Oh,
I like
wow!
That. Yeah,
because of the run formation and the offense with Alex Gibbs.
It's a great
and everything.
Call. That was the toughest offense I ever played against was Mike Shanahan's offense with the Denver Broncos.
No S word, really. That was the toughest one to defend.
Easily
because of their schemes.
Because of the.
Well, the stretch play. Alex Gibbs was the offensive line.
Got to be the most difficult.
Terrell Davis is the running back, and Elway's the quarterback. I mean, Shannon Sharp was the tight end. I mean,
not to
very difficult offense.
Pigeonhole your skills. Did it have to do with your skills? Because you were seen as more of a thumping, take on guards kind of linebacker, and that offense, I'm assuming, with the wide zones and the zone and the cutback.
They cut all the time.
Athletic linebackers who maybe needed to be a little bit more athletic than you. Like, did your skills play a role in that?
No.
Lofa Tatupu, would he like to defend that more than you? He was a runaround guy.
No, it was. I hear what you're saying. I didn't mean it to be a shot.
I hope you didn't take it.
It felt like a shot, but I'm not going to take it that way. It was no other team was doing it.
Okay.
Other than them. It was so unique to them. The way they blocked you, and so it was like you didn't play any other team that had anything close to that kind of scheme, so it was very difficult to defend.
Okay, so, text line Andy real quick, 440, Joe Gibbs, Mike Shanahan, 617, shout out Tom Coughlin. Here's a good one from the 440.
That's a good point.
Where would you put Holmgren and Vermeil? Holmgren should be, I think maybe 10, 9, 10. I mean, he won in two cities and took a Super Bowl.
He's not in top five.
He's definitely not top five. No. I don't even think he's top 10 for me. The more I think about it, yeah, I think
I'd put Vermeil ahead of him.
I would put Vermeil ahead of
what,
him.
What, he won two Super Bowls in different time periods?
The whole hiatus, different teams. And time off. Mm-hmm. Like, Joe Gibbs tried to come back and failed miserably. The game had passed him by.
Yeah.
Dick Vermeil comes back.
Our old pal Fourier could tell us a few stories.
Game hadn't.
About Vermeil?
Right. Yeah. No, about Joe Gibbs. The game had passed him by and wasn't a great experience for him in Washington.
No.
Just real quick reminder. So I had Reed second. You had Reed second.
I did.
You had Reed
third behind Walsh.
Third. So are you open to Fitzy since you have him the lowest? Mm-hmm. Let's just say he wins next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Does he move up your list? Does another Super Bowl championship?
That would be his fourth Super Bowl. I think he and Walsh at that point, I mean, they'd each have four. I would still give it to Walsh because of the fact that it's a quantity versus quality play there. He wins five. He jumps up.
What did Walsh do without Joe Montana?
Didn't matter. He had Joe Montana.
No, I'm just asking. Because Andy Reid.
What did he do without Patrick Mahomes?
Went to the Super Bowl.
In a lot of NFC Championship games.
And yeah, and four straight NFC Championship games.
Yeah.
But see, I have no problem losing NFC Championship games. I think that's an accomplishment.
At least you got
there.
This is
and he took Alex Smith to the playoffs.
Yep.
So I personally.
Probably could have taken Elvis Gurr back to the playoffs.
Oh, he's a great offensive mind. Now, it does get into a weird world of West Coast offenses and their sort of permutations. Like, you give Walsh credit for the offense, which really came from Paul Brown. But we'll give Walsh some credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
Holmgren gets some credit for it because he's coming
from
that
tree.
Didn't
even need a running game, really. Who was the greatest running back like in Niners history that you can think of?
Roger Craig.
Roger Craig's very good. And, of course, I know.
Tom Rathman.
I was going to say, here comes the necessary Tom Rathman reference.
So there is limited room for movement right now for Reed. Is that what I'm sensing? Like, he can move up slightly, but he's still got a ways to go to pass Bill. Like, how far
you
are
think?
We?
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
Talk to us in
talk
six,
to me, Ted. Talk to me, Ted.
I don't think he's that far off. He's 33 wins behind Belichick for all time. He's won, what, three Super Bowls?
Yep, the fourth.
So he's still got to get to three more.
Does he need all those to pass him? Like, does he get credit for those four NFC title games? Or does he get demerits because he lost to Belichick in the Super Bowl?
No, I think he gets credit.
But he lost to Belichick in the Super Bowl?
I think he gets credit for getting there.
So Patrick Mahomes has been squashed by the fact that twice he lost to Tom Brady. Once in the AFC title game, once in the Super Bowl. Brady has two more Super Bowls that could have been Mahomes' Super Bowls. And the conversation's over. Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time. Not even a conversation if he beats Brady twice. Andy Reid lost to Belichick in the Super Bowl and lost to Belichick in the AFC title game. Are those two games preventing him? Does he need to actually pass the sixth title goal to pass him?
I think he's got to get at least a couple more.
Because
he's got to get a couple more.
The best argument answer that Andy Reid has is when people say, what'd Bill do without Brady? What did Reid do without Mahomes? That just like lifts him so high.
Fair, argumentative question.
But don't you think what Patrick Mahomes is doing with Andy Reid, I think is, you could say is more impressive than what Bill did for Tom. I think Tom went on and won without Bill. Bill has never won without Tom.
But we don't know how that would play out with Reid or Mahomes in the future either. Andy Reid's not a spring chicken. He could leave.
He's coached other quarterbacks before, and he got to five NFC championship games with another quarterback.
Couldn't beat Belichick.
But he still got to five NFC championships.
Couldn't beat Belichick without Mahomes. Couldn't beat Belichick
but
with Mahomes.
But Belichick had Brady. He never had this coached crazy against Belichick without Tom Brady.
I'm trying to play
Brady.
Devil's advocate a little bit here to have the conversation. Okay, let's move
to close, though.
Quarterbacks.
I got it.
Top five quarterbacks.
I feel like the first four are not debatable.
I don't know. We'll see. I can debate anything.
I feel like I know your first four. We'll have that fifth one is the fun gray.
You
area
want us to go at the same time? Number one is
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Number two
Patrick
is
Mahomes.
Joe Montana.
Joe Montana.
Patrick Mahomes.
Joe Montana.
So we're debating.
Okay.
Number three,
Joe Montana.
Is Patrick Mahomes.
Number four,
Peyton Manning.
John Elway.
Okay.
I think John Elway is the most physically gifted quarterback that ever walked the planet.
All right. And then five for me is John Elway.
And five for me is Manning. Okay. So we have the same five. Right. In me and Ted, we share mine. Boom, boom.
Yep.
Fitzy.
And once again, I have a different one at five. And not to be a contrarian, I did not adjust accordingly. I thought about Elway. I also thought about Marino. There were even a couple other names on my honorable mention list that'll turn heads. But my number five, Steve Young. He's a hell of a talented quarterback.
You know who would really poo-poo your list?
Who's that?
Somebody that people accuse Ted of not liking very much. Bill did not think very much of Steve Young.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's...
That's so
Bill
funny.
Bill didn't think much of Josh Allen either.
He was terrible. Steve Young, I remember all the games I watched growing up, like, wow, get this bum off the field.
I'm just telling you, your God would
my God
not like your list.
My word. Brady's more my God than Belichick.
So I, consistency-wise, basically have the two Patriots, one, and the two Chiefs, two. That's how my lists fall.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are your honorable mentions?
My honorable mention. So Marino is one.
Yep.
The other one is going to wow you, and it's ridiculous, but it isn't in
a
weird way.
I'm kind of hoping it's one of my honorable mentions.
It's not.
Okay.
There's no chance.
Okay, go ahead.
Lil Fat Andy, that was me when I was fat and I was little. Loved Randall Cunningham.
Oh, he's on my list.
Really?
Yes. Nobody threw a better deep ball in the NFL than Randall Cunningham and the way he moved.
Whoa, what are you laughing at us for?
He was awesome.
Randall Cunningham was awesome. He could run. He could throw. He could punt.
He's not close to top 20.
No, it's
let alone top five.
Probably not, if we're being honest. Probably not even with Joe Burrow and Josh Allen.
You know how many old timers out there listening? Or what about Johnny Unitas? What about Roger Staubach?
Well, Johnny Unitas didn't play in the
1980.
Oh, you're right. Gosh darn it.
I'm trying to shame you with your Hall of Fame QBs.
Joe Burrow should make the list. I kind of gave a little more love to the old timers. My honorable mentions, Elway 6, Marino 7, Cunningham 8. Jim Kelly 9, Warren Moon 10.
I don't hate your list.
Boy, I like those lists.
You know who deserves
Warren Moon to great be coaches.
Boomer Esiason was an NFL MVP.
Yeah.
Went to the Super Bowl twice, I believe.
Right around the early 80s,
Works for our same company.
Probably deserves at least a
we'll mention.
Tip of the cap there.
It's so funny because everyone now thinks of Boomer Esiason as former NFL quarterback and celebrated broadcaster and analyst Boomer Esiason. It should be looked at two-time Super Bowl participant and Hall of Fame worthy quarterback, Boomer Esiason, who also works in TV. People also, forget how good. Three teams.
And I would, I mean, he and Steve Young are the only two that I like that throw the ball left-handed, really. I am
Boomer's
anti-
a lefty?
Yeah.
What about, I forgot that.
Okay, the other person besides Randall Cunningham who threw the best deep ball in the last 40 years is Michael Vick.
Yeah, you know the problem is? You ask him to throw a swing pass, and he throw a rocket at your shins.
You guys just saying. You mentioned that a name of, that I think had one of the best arms ever is Warren Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Warren Moon had a
effort.
Beautiful.
Effortless. Fourier once said effortless. That he expected him to throw it really hard and was prepared, and then when it arrived, it almost broke his hands.
Yeah.
Really?
Fourier's
caught a ball from Warren Moon?
Yeah, he's that old.
Holy cow, that's amazing.
I mean, like he said, he threw the best pass, the most effortless rocket, and said it came in no matter how hard you thought it was coming in.
I loved the way Warren just stood in the pocket, so big, strong. I mean, just a rocket arm. And God, I love playing against him. He's one of my favorite players. I sacked him in a preseason game.
Brag.
Oh, humble brag.
Brag. How old was he?
I told him to. He was probably 42 at the time, but...
He couldn't move a
leg.
I
saw him at a restaurant in Houston later that year, and I went up to him and told him I sacked him, and his wife said, well, you didn't have to do that. And I said, yes, ma'am, I did. I said, and Warren couldn't have been nicer. One of my favorite players growing up, and I got to sack him. That was fun.
That's a boy makes good story.
That's pretty excellent.
617-779-7937. I give you the number because a lot of people have reactions to our list. So let's go to John in Drakett. Top five list reaction, John. What are your thoughts?
Well, real quickly, I think we all forgot about Aaron Rodgers. I know no one likes him, and he hasn't maybe accomplished as much as he should have, but he's certainly more talented than a lot of the quarterbacks that you mentioned, and he did win four MVPs. As far as quarterbacks, I go Brady, Montana, Mahomes, Elway, Manning. I agree with you, Andy. I think Elway is the most gifted quarterback in the history of the sport. If everybody played in the same situation, he probably would have been the GOAT. He just didn't have the support or the coaching that other quarterbacks had.
It's true.
And as far as the coaches, and I just, before I go to the coaches, I just wanted to ask Ted one thing because he played against Elway and he played against Manning. Yeah. Who was a bigger pain in the butt to prepare for?
Thanks, John.
It's such a good question.
It's got to be Elway because he could run.
Well, yeah, you know, but he had Terrell Davis, and that was the thing. Terrell Davis gave us more problems than Edgerrin James did. So what helps the quarterbacks when you're playing these great quarterbacks, if they get a little bit of their running game going, then it makes them much more dangerous because now we got to bring a guy down in the box, the corners back up, and that's when Elway would go to work. So I just think, you know, Elway was probably the toughest to defend because he also, I think he had a little bit better weapon and running game than the Colts did with Edgerrin James.
You got that? You got that, Sus?
I'd like to start out this.
Okay, that worked out. We had a soundbite ready to go.
Press conference with.
I stopped talking at the right time.
That man, you nailed it too, Ted.
Well, I was doing a good seconds. Job. I saw these arms flailing and pointing.
I put it on the tee,
and I'm like, they're going to do something here.
The machine froze.
Oh, well.
It happens. So I won't freeze. I'll go back to the phone lines. Go. We're getting a lot of negative feedback here on somebody we've left off our list that played mostly in Green Bay and then finished up in New York.
Brett Favre?
It's not about, Aaron Rodgers. Pete in the car, what are your thoughts on our lists and our omissions?
Yeah, I think your lists are pretty good, boys. But, I grew up in Wisconsin in the 90s. Brett Favre came along.
Where in Wisconsin?
You have to include him. Outside Milwaukee, that area.
Do you think we got to include him in the top five?
Top five all time?
Top five all time. You think he's worthy of top five?
The next group, you have to. Like 6 to 10, you have to.
I think you can, make an argument for 6 to 10, for sure, with
Brett
Favre.
Yeah, you could definitely make an argument. I mean, that...
What, two Super Bowls? No, one. Two.
Yeah.
One.
One.
Only one Super Bowl win.
Corrections department, Andy. I don't think Boomer went to two Super Bowls. I think he went to one. Kenny Anderson was the quarterback the first time. We jumped the gun on that one.
But, let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Gray in Wilmington, what are your thoughts on our rankings?
I'm going to echo the Brett Favre piece. I mean, I think you guys put Warren Moon and Boomer in front of – I mean, Favre, two Super Bowls, won one of them back-to-back-to-back MVPs in the mid-90s.
I'd put him ahead of those guys. Okay, I would.
Enough said. Yep, no, yeah. Okay, we may have omitted
solid.
Him.
When you throw Cunningham out there, you threw people off. Randall was a brilliant quarterback, but
did you play Cunningham?
No.
Was he ever on a team as talented? Like, we were talking about Coach QB combos, like the brilliance of Mike Holmgren helped Brett Favre. I mean, his Terrell sorry, Terrell Davis was, what, Dorsey Levens back
Dorsey
during
Levens
the day?
Sure was.
You know, but he had Mike Holmgren helping him. What did Randall Cunningham have? Nothing much up until 1998 when he had rookie Randy Moss. And Gary Anderson still to this day should be flogged for missing that kick.
617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls, read your texts as you clean up and fix our top five list. Seems like we did a better job on the coaches than the quarterbacks. We got less pushback there. But we'll take your calls, we'll take your texts, and we're talking top five all time as it relates to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, because they're a little more than a week away from Super Bowl LIX. WEEI Afternoons up next. More talk of top fives all time.
Good afternoon. I'd like to start out this press conference with a thank you to John Elway.
WEEI Afternoons, where we're learning the age-old lesson that everyone loves and hates lists. As soon as you put a list out, some people are going to be like, oh, nailed it, agree with that. Oh, that's stupid. Oh, that one's stupid. You forgot this guy. If you're watching on Twitch, I do enjoy the picture on the screen right now. Actually, Fitzy, you're kind of scary. We have the Three Stooges.
So you're Mo.
You're scary.
Me as curly is terrifying. That is like, that's Pennywise, the radio host right there. That's terrifying.
And Ted actually looks fine.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Curly.
Yeah, how about that?
Looks good. Anyway, 617-779-7937. We're talking about our top five quarterbacks, top five coaches since 1980. And we're going to go back to the phone lines because Tom in the car has some thoughts on our list. Tom, what's up?
You know, I came into your conversation when I was getting into the car, and I think my the quarterback that I would put on the list, I think I'm out of date now. But whenever I hear them mention Joe Montana, I always get perplexed that Bradshaw is not on that list because he basically did everything that Montana did. Their records are basically almost equal, but no one mentions Bradshaw. I think it's a personality thing. And when you think about the quarterbacks on the list, basically, if you have Manning on that list, who played in a dome stadium most of his career, and Bradshaw, who played half his career before they made the blunt rule where they let receivers run all over the place, and he played outdoors, he never seems to be on those quarterback lists. But when I just jumped on the radio, your date goes from 1980 on, so I think I'm out of date here.
All right, thanks for the call, Tom. Yeah, and that, even though you were a little pre there, it's hard with the eras, even from the 80s, 90s into now. It's a different game, and how would Joe Montana play now? How would Randall Cunningham? If you couldn't touch Randall Cunningham, if you were scared to hit Randall Cunningham, that would give him more opportunities if he played like Patrick Mahomes or flopping Josh Allen and different things. So, yeah, the eras definitely matter, and some of the teams matter. Hell, the coaches matter. Don't you think some of these quarterbacks that are a little lower, had you paired them up with Belichick or Andy Reid, probably would be higher on our lists? Like, there's a reason there's some overlap of the two lists, franchises. You know, you pair up the two perfect guys at the perfect time, and you end up with greatness.
Listen, am I on right now?
I am not hearing you, Ted Johnson.
There we go. This is an interesting stat when it comes to Terry Bradshaw. Good. You know what? It's he should get some love, but he didn't exactly fit your parameters. But this is an interesting stat, though. Of the 29 QBs who have attempted at least 40 passes in Super Bowls, Bradshaw is number one in yards per attempt at 11.1.
It was a different time. A lot of deep balls.
Doesn't that surprise you, though? Like 11?
Well, if you're throwing to Stallworth Swan, you could go deep.
It's still a pretty impressive.
I mean, it's a little like if you go back and look at Stanley Morgan, his yards per catch is
okay. Should be in the Hall of Fame. No one else was over 10. I just thought that was interesting. And he had a 10.7 touchdown percentage. 10% of his passes went for touchdowns.
Yeah. That's an era thing because there wasn't so much volume in the passing game. So it was just, it's different. And I don't know how you marry all those
together.
That's
so impressive.
And, oh, yeah. No, he's an all. There's a reason that his team won 4 Super Bowls.
Correct.
Like, he is in that conversation with Brady and Mahomes, and it's a conversation only a few people can have. Yeah. Hey, how many rings you got? Oh, you got 2? Could you see yourself out of this conversation, please? This is just for us special people. And he's in that conversation. Yeah. But for our criteria, he didn't really fit the age range. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Jim in Manchester, New Hampshire. What do you think of our top five QB list?
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't realize this from like 1980 on. I'm just a longtime Cleveland Browns fan, and Otto Graham. In this conversation.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jim.
Our sympathies, Jim. He said longtime Cleveland Browns fans.
Yeah, that's the last time they were good.
I'm surprised. I'm waiting for the Sammy Ball call.
Slinging Sammy Ball?
What about Botstar?
Okay, so let's get some of these names out here so people realize we do acknowledge that football occurred before 1980. We're not pretending that it started then or whatever. Johnny Unitas, Bart Starr, who else? Len Dawson. Do we need any age old? If you're here in New England, you might have loved Vito Babe Parilli. Not that he's necessarily the all-time greats conversation, but... You know, made some plays here at Fenway Park.
Roger Staubach.
Yeah, there's some all-time greats, but we... And
Bart
that's why
Starr.
I wanted to cut it off at 1980. I feel like that's
probably
a
smart.
Little bit more modern.
Sid Luckman.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
1939 to 1950.
I'm sure Jim Thorpe threw a pass once in a while, too.
He did everything.
These are guys anyway.
Steve Grogan.
Steve Grogan is not on the list.
No, he's not.
He's in our hearts. I love him.
Where he belongs.
I actually think he's high on the list that Ted talked about yesterday of connecting with fans and your region and blue collar and Steve Grogan, dude. Grogan Marciano Sporting Goods.
Has there ever been a quarterback to wear a neck roll?
Right. And he fit that.
I love that.
Tough guy, the whole thing. And he fit New England, but, you know, he's not on the all-time greatest quarterbacks list that we're putting together here. Let's go to Zach in New Hampshire. Zach, what's your thoughts on our top five QBs list?
What's going on, guys? First-time caller here. I just had a comment for you. If Andy Reid can get credit for NFC Championship appearances, should Jim Kelly be on your guys' list as an honorable mention?
He was on mine.
He was on Fitzy's. Thanks for the call. He gets credit.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
The problem is when you don't have a ring... If he had one and then had the other four or three or whatever, I think that changes the whole conversation.
Right.
But to have never gotten over that hump to put that ring, it's like the 07 Patriots we talked about that day. They were going to be the greatest team of all time, and then they didn't win, and they just get, like, forgotten, pushed down the list.
Yeah, that 04 team's still better.
Yeah. You're not biased, are you? You're not
still better, that 04 team.
617-779-7937. Let's squeeze in one more call before we get to the top of the hour. Let's go to Steve in Fall River wants to comment on our top five list.
The 04 team was better. The 97 offense of the Patriots was better than this 2007. When you have Boomer Esiason, and you have Randall Cunningham, and for half their career, they weren't the top five in the league. They couldn't be in the top five for half the seasons they played. They weren't considered top five when they were playing. Then they can't be in your honorable mention. I'm gonna defer to your quarterbacks, and I'm gonna get into the coaches. Andy Reid, number one. Joe Gibbs, number two. Bill Belichick, number three. And he only gets number three because he has the six Super Bowl rings, courtesy of Tom Brady. And guess what? You have to look at what they do without a great player. Bill Belichick is underwater. He has one playoff win in 12 seasons without Tom Brady. Mark Sanchez has four playoff wins with Rex Ryan. He has 12 seasons underwater. That is not the case with Andy Gibbs. And it's also the case with Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan's record is wonderful with John Elway. It is completely different without John Elway.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
Interesting.
I appreciate your input, and I'm not going to rip your list, just like you shouldn't rip mine when I put Randall Cunningham. And I admitted mine was a little nostalgic or personal or whatever my affinity was for Randall Cunningham.
That's sports. That's sports fandom. That's exactly what we're here for.
Real quick before we go.
Yep.
One thing I find very interesting is there is a quarterback that has won multiple Super Bowls that no one's mentioned and they're on top of their list.
Is this a big market tease? You're going to tell us top
I'll tell you hour? When we come back.
Ted Johnson will tell us which quarterback we're leaving off the list. We'll continue to take your phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll also take a quick look at the draft, where some people think quarterbacks could go high, some people think quarterbacks won't go high, and it all could change what the Patriots do at number four. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.